our hearts be pleasing in your sight, Lord, our rock and our redeemer. That is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we'll be helpful for you to be paying close attention to the screen this morning rather than necessarily keeping your Bibles open, although you're very welcome to do so, because we're going to be moving from proverb to proverb, and so we're going to be flitting around a little. I think perhaps one of the most astonishing discoveries of reading a wisdom book like Proverbs is that it even has something to say about illness and health. And I suppose a summary of what it says is that foolishness brings illness, but wisdom grants health. Foolishness brings illness, but wisdom grants health. Now, I need to begin by reminding us how the book of Proverbs actually defines wisdom and defines foolishness. When we use the word foolish, we generally mean someone who is stupid. But that's not what the Bible means. People who reject wisdom are foolish. And according to Proverbs, wisdom has got nothing to do with intelligence. A person can be intelligent but unwise, or unintelligent but wise. So what is wisdom? Well, it's essentially the skills needed to navigate life successfully. Today, we might call that something like emotional intelligence. Wisdom is the skills needed to navigate life successfully. Now, we also need to know, I think, that Hebrew proverbs take the form of observations of life rather than guarantees. And so, the Proverbs are principles, they're not promises. We need to get that very clear up front if we to read them correctly. In other words, Proverbs is not telling us that sick people are foolish people and that healthy people are wise people. That would be ridiculous, wouldn't it? Of course, even the wisest people get sick and even die through no fault of their own. Nevertheless, Proverbs teaches us foolishness brings illness, but wisdom grants health. Now, this might not sound a surprising statement, but that may be because we don't appreciate just how closely illness and foolishness, or health and wisdom, can be related to one another. I think there are some very obvious examples from day-to-day life. People who choose to smoke cigarettes suffer poor health as a result. My paternal grandmother was a Christian, and she used to smoke. She smoked daily, but moderately. I don't think she would ever finish a whole box of cigarettes in one day. Nevertheless, she struggled enormously whenever she caught a cold or got the flu. And her smoking eventually killed her. She died of emphysema. My grandmother said taking up smoking was very foolish. But the thing is, the link between wisdom and health and foolishness and illness is usually more subtle than that. And this is where I think the book of Proverbs proves to be particularly helpful to us. We're going to take a look this morning at what Proverbs has to say on this subject with three examples of the relationship between foolishness and illness, and then three examples of the relationship between wisdom and health. So firstly, the relationship between foolishness and illness. Foolishness brings illness. Sin poisons us. By the way, these notes will be available in the Happenings email later this week. So if you're scribbling down notes and you can't get them in time, they will be available. You don't need to get every note. Well, How do we know that sin poisons us? Proverbs tells us in chapter 14, verse 30, a heart at peace gives life to the body, but envy rots the bones. Envy begins with a lack of contentment, doesn't it? Envying is wanting what belongs to someone else. And sometimes envying can become even more malicious. It can include wanting the owner of that to lose what belongs to them. So, of course, I might envy a person for their wealth or their house, but I might also envy a person for their popularity or their marriage or their success or their gifts. I might even envy a person for their health or their personality or their Christian maturity. But what this proverb is telling us is that envy is not a neutral emotion. It's a destructive emotion. It can be, of course, destructive toward the person I envy, so that I might treat that person badly or I might even steal from that person. But envy is most destructive in the life of the person who's envying. Envy eats away at me. Envy rots my bones. Envy destroys my health. And psychologists call this connection between negative emotions and illness psychosomatic disease. What's the solution to the sickness brought on by envy? The proverb tells us, a peaceful heart. In other words, contentment. Contentment is the solution. And contentment is not neutral either. Contentment benefits me. That's what the proverb is saying. It gives me health. Contentment gives me good health. Contentment provides for my well-being. So firstly, foolishness brings illness. Sin poisons us. Secondly, foolishness brings illness, relationships that poison us. We see this in Proverbs 12, verse 4. A wife of noble character is her husband's crown, but a disgraceful wife is like decay in his bones. I love the language of in his bones. It's powerful, isn't it? This proverb refers, of course, particularly to marriage between a man and a woman, but it can be applied to any relationship. And I think there are a few reasons why marriage is used as an example in this proverb. And one of them is, of course, that marriage illustrates the point well, because surely there are few relationships in the world that are as intimate as marriage. Now, it's not entirely clear what the proverb means by disgraceful wife. What does disgraceful mean? Well, it's most likely referring to infidelity or unfaithfulness. The husband of an adulterous wife will suffer poor health. The spouse of an adulterer will very likely grow weak or ill. I've seen this in the life of a close family member. The husband in question had an affair, which his spouse discovered. He showed no repentance and eventually decided to divorce his wife. During that period, her health declined to the point that she lost an enormous amount of hair. Her hair loss was due to the stress that she was under. And this proverb almost certainly is based upon experience, isn't it? It's meant to motivate its hearers to avoid a bad marital choice. The point of the proverb is that an unfaithful spouse brings suffering in my life. And that suffering is not just emotional. It can even be physical. Well, thankfully, that's not all the proverb tells us. It also tells us that the reverse is true. A noble spouse, a faithful spouse, brings honor, the proverb says, and by implication, brings good health. Foolishness brings illness. Relationships that poison us. And then thirdly, foolishness brings illness. Emotions that poison us. Proverbs chapter 18 and verse 14 says, "The human spirit can endure in times of illness, but a crushed spirit, who can bear?" An Old Testament scholar has translated the same words. The human spirit can sustain a person when sick, but who can bear a broken spirit? The point's quite clear, isn't it? Generally speaking, we can bear sickness when everything's well with our spirit. We can suffer great discomfort when we have hope, when we have meaning, when we have loving support. We can carry the awful burden of physical pain when we have reason to live. But when we're depressed or anxious, when we're suffering psychologically, when all hope is lost, then life itself becomes unbearable, and our physical health will inevitably go into a decline, such as with ulcers, or with high blood pressure, or even with a heart attack. We need to remember this when we find ourselves and others suffering from conditions that have been described as a broken spirit or a crushed spirit by the proverb. Conditions such as anxiety or depression. I wasn't going to say anything about this, but something happened this morning that made me change my mind. I woke up around 4 o'clock this morning, and I couldn't fall asleep again because of anxiety. So I've been up since then. And I've actually been struggling with anxiety for over a year now. It became so bad at one stage that I was experiencing panic attacks, and I've had to seek professional help to deal with that. Well, as you can imagine, this has made life pretty difficult for my family, and also pretty difficult for me. And of course, one of the ways that this has impacted me is it's impacted me physically. For example, lack of sleep. And sleep deprivation is a pretty terrible thing if you've experienced it. Sleep deprivation is actually used as a tool of torture. It's very effective. Anxiety, I've discovered, is a poison. Foolishness brings illness, emotions that poison us. Well, those are the three negatives. Thankfully, Proverbs doesn't just attach a health warning to foolishness. Proverbs also advertises the health benefits of wisdom, the health benefits. So let's turn our attention now to the flip side. Firstly, wisdom grants health. Words that heal us. Proverbs 16, verse 24 says, "Gracious words are a honeycomb, sweet to the soul and healing to the bones." In our childhood, I'm sure many of us heard the saying, "Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never harm me." Well, experience has taught us that the second part of that line is not true at all. And it's clear from Proverbs chapter 16, verse 24, that the ancient sages would not have agreed with that little sticks and stones line either, because words are harmful. Words have the ability to break down, don't they? But they also have the ability, the proverb is telling us, to build up. So what exactly does the proverb mean by gracious words? Well, they're not simply kind words, although I'm sure they very definitely are kind words. What the proverb writer is talking about is the right words spoken at the right time. The right words spoken at the right time. Timely words are to the soul what honey is to the body. The medicinal qualities of honey, particularly high-grade Manuka honey, are very well researched and documented. Manuka honey has antibacterial properties, and in fact, Manuka honey can kill most forms of bacteria. It's incredibly powerful. Now, the bones of a person are essentially the core of a person. That's what that means. And so what the proverb is saying is that words in season are like honey to the soul. They bring sweetness and they bring healing. So don't underestimate the healing power of your words. The healing power of your words. But don't, above all, underestimate the deliciousness and the curative power of the good news of Jesus Christ. There are no sweeter words than the gospel. There are no more healing words than the gospel. When we speak those words, when we share what God has done for us in Jesus Christ, after all, what are we sharing with people? We're sharing forgiveness and eternal life. Our words can heal. Wisdom grants health. Words that heal us. Secondly, wisdom grants health. Hope realized heals us. The proverb chapter 13, verse 12 says, "Hope deferred makes the heart sick, but a longing fulfilled is a tree of life." There's wisdom in delaying gratification, isn't there? That's something that we teach a child when we urge her to save up for the toy that she wants rather than just spend the money because she has it. Delayed gratification will almost always lead to greater satisfaction, won't it? And hope, by nature, is forward-looking. Hope anticipates what is to come. And so hope is focused entirely on the realization of that goal. But waiting for a goal only to then have the goalposts moved, that's something entirely different, isn't it? And that's what the proverb is referring to. This proverb tells us that an unanticipated postponement only leads to heart sickness. That heart sickness is a reference to frustration, it's a reference to disappointment, and it's a reference to depression. The sages tell us that there's something soul-destroying about a hope deferred. But that's not the whole story, because a longing fulfilled, well, that's a tree of life. We only need to think, for example, of the joy of obtaining one's VCE after months of hard graft, or the arrival of a wedding day after months of engagement, or graduating after years of slog, or the birth of a child after years of trying and 9 months of pregnancy. To obtain a long-awaited goal, it's life-giving, isn't it? The tree of life in the Garden of Eden is a symbol of vitality. To receive the reward that you've been waiting for, that's enriching. It's invigorating. It's energizing. We need to remember, wisdom grants us health, and hope realized heals us. And then lastly, wisdom grants health. Happiness heals us. We've already seen that a crushed spirit can destroy a person, but thank God, that's not the whole story. And this proverb goes a step further than telling us how to avoid a crushed spirit. What I love about this proverb is it tells us how to revive a crushed spirit. That's a whole lot better, isn't it? So what's the secret to reviving a crushed spirit? Joy. What the sages call a cheerful heart. As one translator has put it, a joyful heart enhances healing. A joyful heart enhances healing. This is where the idea that laughter is the best medicine originates from. How many times have we heard people say that? Laughter is the best medicine. Guess where it comes from? Scripture, from the Bible. Even if people don't know that, they're quoting Scripture essentially. Now, it might not sound like it. It might just sound like a bland piece of wisdom which is helpful, blah, blah, blah. But believe it or not, laughter is today even a psychiatric prescription for clinically diagnosed mood disorders. It's a prescription. Happiness is healing for the heavy heart. Even psychiatrists know that. But happiness, and laughter specifically, is also good for the body, not just for the mind. Psychology Today magazine references research that shows that laughter is good for the body. And I quote, "Laughter reduces pain and allows us to tolerate discomfort. Laughter reduces blood sugar levels, increasing glucose tolerance in diabetics and non-diabetics alike. Laughter helps your blood vessels function better," end quote. Can you believe it? Laughter helps your blood vessels function better. One commentator has written, "This proverb states that one's emotional well-being has physical effects." In other words, humor is a tonic to our bodies. And that, of course, is in part, I think, what the whole film Patch Adams was all about. You might know about that American doctor who used to use humor and clowning to heal his patients. It's based on a true story. So, brothers and sisters, you need some light entertainment. You need some comedy for your own health's sake, for your body's sake. Whether it's a clown or a comedic act or a comedy sitcom or a laugh out loud book or a comedy film, laughter is essential to our well-being. If you haven't seen one recently or read one recently, that's your homework for today. The wise person is committed to happiness, because happiness is not only good for our mental health, it's good for our physical health. Wisdom grants health. Happiness heals us. And so, in conclusion, foolishness does bring illness, but wisdom, that grants health. Let's pray. Loving Father, we thank you that Proverbs shares this wisdom with us, telling us about the illness that foolishness brings and the health that wisdom grants. Father, we really need to take this to heart, and so we ask that you would help us to do so. Help us to remember that sin does poison us, that sin is not neutral, that relationships can poison us, and that even emotions can poison us. And so, Father, help us to follow, we pray, the wisdom of Proverbs, because that is what brings us health. Help us to use our words to heal one another. Help us to remember that hope realized helps us. Let us not shift the goalposts with family or friends or work colleagues. And lastly, Heavenly Father, help us to remember that happiness heals us. We thank you for laughter. We thank you for humor. And we pray that you'd help us to use it well. And we ask these requests in Jesus' name. Amen.
We're now going to respond by singing our next song, Purify My Heart. And as we sing it, let's sing it from a heart that is happy, because we do have good news in Jesus. As we do sing this song, it's a chance to take up our offering this morning. If you already give online or if you're just visiting, please do not feel obliged. This is for our regular members. Let's stand and sing our next song, Refiner's Fire.